right, our eighth case for today is United States v. Cosman, 20-27-52, and we should have Mr. Niemann and Mr. Finlan. We seem to have both of you. All right, so Mr. Niemann, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Nate Niemann, and I represent Timothy Cosman, who's a federal defendant who's incarcerated currently at the Thompson Correctional Center in Thompson, Illinois. The issue in this case is whether the district court, quote unquote, considered the 3553A factors under the compassionate release statute when it failed to consider how those factors apply now as opposed to when a defendant was originally sentenced. So this isn't a case where the court did not consider the factors at all, or this isn't a case where we're arguing that the court applied improper emphasis on certain factors. This is a case that asked the court to determine what the meaning of the word considered means in the context of the compassionate release statute.
Mr. Niemann, now, it's our sentencing factor that was raised in the motion for compassionate release, are you claiming that the court didn't address?
Well, Your Honor, the gist of my argument is that the court didn't address the pertinent 3553A factors in the context of Mr. Cosman's specific circumstances.
But my question is, what specific 3553A factor or factors did your client ask the court to consider or argue in support of his motion that the court did not consider?
Well, Your Honor, as the government points out in its brief, the 3553A factors that Cosman asked the court to consider were the 3553A factors that were identified in Mr. Cosman's sentencing memorandum.
And I think you've conceded the court did consider those.
Actually, I would take it a step further. I thought the court signaled at least that it was thinking of the present time as well as not very long ago at the time of sentencing, in that it's saying it's standing by its earlier analysis. It thinks the same reasons counsel the result still, basically. So if the court is basically just saying, I don't think anything has changed, then that's a way of signaling that it's taking a contemporaneous look, which is all you seem to be arguing he should have done.
Well, Your Honor, I think that from, as the court probably well knows, the emphasis has shifted for these compassionate releases from extraordinary circumstances really to 3553A
analysis. I think it's both. I think it's both. You still have to have the extraordinary circumstances, but that factor doesn't seem to be as contested as it initially used to be.
It didn't. And my observations of current case law that are coming out of the district courts and have not wended their way to the Court of Appeals yet is that the court, in many cases, the government is conceding or it's pretty much easily shown that there's extraordinary circumstances.
Right.
And most of these petitions or most of these motions now are being denied on 3553A grounds. And so if a district court simply says, well, I stand on my 3553A analysis that I made at the time of the original sentencing, that's not considering the 3553A factors.
I don't understand that. Why can't a court, particularly when the sentencing was as recent as it had been for Mr. Cosman, essentially say, you know, I see you now, but nothing, in my opinion, has changed to suggest that you should just be relieved of the rest of your sentence and put out, even though, as you say, everybody agreed, you know, these are the COVID family of cases, right? And Mr. Cosman certainly has his medical issues, and so the government wisely is not contesting extraordinary and compelling circumstances. But that's not the only thing. The BOP for forever has treated prisoners who are ill, and a lot of the district judges are saying they think that's enough.
And why isn't that especially true here, where the court said it continues to believe,
right,
as it did at sentencing, and your client never identified any new or additional 3553A factors that the court should consider.
Well, Your Honor, what I would like to point out is what I pointed out in my reply, that when and this goes to the government's waiver argument, is that when I referenced the 3553A factors that the court considered at the time of sentencing, I was identifying the 3553A factors which I wished the district court to consider. And in this particular case, there's only one 3553A factor that the court considered that is relevant to or directly tied to the defendant's current situation. And that is that he would receive a windfall if his sentence was reduced. And the rest of the 3553A factors that the court considers, for instance, the circumstances of the offense, which are not going to change, his criminal history, which is not going to change, the fact that he used to be a hard worker, good friend, and exercised bad judgment in this case, obstructed the bank's efforts to pay the loans, those aren't going to change. And with respect to the deterrent value of the sentence and the public protection, those are things that the court considered but are not relevant to the defendant's current circumstances.
So what is it that you think the court should have considered that the court didn't?
Well, I think that the court should have considered how the extraordinary circumstance in this case particularly affected Mr. Cosman. For instance, the court did...
The court did consider the extraordinary circumstances and found that there were extraordinary circumstances, but that's under compassionate release motions. That's not the only factor. The law does not say that if you meet the extraordinary circumstances, you are automatically entitled to compassionate release. There's this second prong of it, and the courts are looking at 3553A factors, and I don't understand, especially when we're reviewing for an abuse of discretion, how the court could abuse its discretion for not considering something that you're not even identifying what should have been considered.
Well, I think that probably the most prominent factor would be the type of sentence available. And the district court stated that it believed the sentence it imposed was the best sentence available. It didn't consider whether there were other sentences available, such as home confinement or electronic home monitoring, supervised release.
Why isn't it implicitly considering that in its 3553A analysis, that it's standing by its earlier sentencing analysis?
Well, because when Mr. Cosman was sentenced, the pandemic hadn't happened yet. So the considerations...
But the court acknowledges the pandemic here and even looks at the most recent positive cases at the Thompson Penitentiary at the time that he filed his... since the time he filed.
Your Honor, I see that I have about 1 minute remaining, so I'm going to reserve for rebuttal.
Okay.
I'd like you to answer the question.
Please give Judge St. Eve a quick response to her question, and then you can reserve.
I apologize. With respect to the answer to that question, the court indicated that it had considered his extraordinary circumstance, but it's our position that he didn't consider that in conjunction with the 3553A factors.
Okay, you can save the rest for rebuttal. Mr. Finlan.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. Ryan Finlan on behalf of the United States. May it please the court. Assuming Mr. Cosman didn't waive his challenge, the district court in denying compassionate release did not abuse its discretion when considering the 3553A factors. First, the court's order contains ample references showing that the 3553A factors were considered as applicable at the time of the motion, and the original sentence. And second, the order demonstrates that the court considered the 3553A factors as is required by Section 3582C1A. As to the waiver argument, waiver is a knowing and intelligent decision. And that's demonstrated by the defendant's motion, that's docket entry 45, when in addressing a motion for compassionate release, it only includes two paragraphs as to the 3553A argument. Compassionate release is a three-legged stool, exhaustion, extraordinary compelling circumstances, and 3553A factors. The defendant decided to steer the court away from new factors by saying, I'm going to rely on a brief or a memo that's 11 months old. And then the defendant, to his credit, did move on to contemporaneous factors, which is courts do consider rehabilitative efforts, but that's not an affirmative 3553A argument. That is a, I guess, an excuse for a direction away from the possible rehabilitative efforts that the defendant made and saying don't consider those because he has been locked down, he has not had an opportunity. So there was no affirmative Section 3553A argument. So to the court's question, what should the court have considered that the defendant asked him to? The defendant didn't ask him to consider new factors. And even if we do move past that waiver argument to the abuse of discretion standard, the district court did in fact consider the 3553A factors as of the time of the motion. There, I cite four examples. One is that the court said that the original reasons are going to counsel, meaning they're going to assist this order, and this order being the new contemporaneous order. Two, that the defendant served 8 of 36 months. The fact that the defendant served 8 of 36 months is a fact that is only true as of the time of the motion and was certainly not true as of the time of the original sentencing. So there is consideration of new facts. Third, as the court noted, the opinion states that it continues to believe as it did at sentencing, unquote. There, it's another recognition that the court is considering both contemporaneous facts and past facts. And fourth, in its last page of the order, the court notes that there are conditions at USP Thompson that include 88 positive cases, but the defendant is actually housed at the Thompson camp, which has zero cases. September of 2020, no one had heard at the time of the sentencing, no one had heard of COVID. So that's only a fact that's true as of the time of the motion, not at the time of the original sentence. And the court is only required to consider those factors that are applicable, that it deems applicable. And that's the Clayton decision out of this court from 2016. And the district court identified five factors, Section 3553A1, A2A through A2C, and A3, as the applicable factors counseling its decision. So even if the defendant had not waived, the district court provided the ample consideration. Now, unless there are any questions for me, the United States would rely on its brief and ask that this court affirm the district court in all respects.
I would ask one question, and that is with the actual loss. Supposedly with the bank fraud, he's exposed to millions of dollars. And I assume when he's a farmer and he alleges he's got vehicles and other things that he doesn't own, and et cetera, is there some determination once this is not even wrapped up, whatever the status is how much money it did the bank actually lose?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe that's the subject of a collateral attack. And I believe that motion has been stayed pending the resolution of this compassionate release argument.
Okay, so I'm only curious, but if you don't have an answer, I guess I'll accept that.
Yes, I believe that is the argument that has been raised. And I believe there is the government's position is there is intended loss that should be factored in. And
well, that's the difference. There may have been a lot exposed. The question I have is, what did he get away with in the amount of money? And maybe it's not a correct question if everything's still up in the air.
There are a lot still up in the air. I know there was loans totaling $8 million, and then the bank suffered, I believe, a $2 million plus loan, somewhere between $2 and $3 million, Your Honor.
On page 5 of the order, it says $2,963,000, et cetera.
And thank you, Your Honor. I did not have that number readily available. I knew it was somewhere between $2 and $3 million.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money. All right. Any further questions from the panel? All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Finland. Anything further, Mr. Neiman?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Well, thanks very much to both counsel. The court will take this case under advisement.